you know, in response to that little dig, I only respond to what I hear. Right? And so maybe that's one of the things that you need to put right at the top of your list, that you are an insulting person. Amen? What do you think? There's a, let me just say this. If you wanted to, you don't have to. If you wanted to, I'll tell you what I'd appreciate. I do a lot of family conferences. I think about 20% of my meetings now are family conferences. I'll tell you what I'd appreciate. Don't need to put your name down or anything, but get a second sheet of paper. And when you have those three, four, five areas during the course of the offering, just fold it. Don't put anything else on it. And just throw it in the offering plate. And whoever takes the offer, they wanted to give it to me. That would give me some insight in to different types of messages that I could make to help other couples. I'm always looking for areas that you can help couples in, individuals in, and that would go to be a big help. You know, when he talks about that, you know what that does? It makes you focus more on what's being preached. Does that make sense? It's kind of like, listen, it's kind of like one day, just kind of like today, you know, cold, a little bit snowy, wet, preacher was preaching. And as he was preaching, he looked towards the back door. A guy snuck in the back door and started taking everybody's coat off the rack and then ran out. And the preacher stopped preaching. He goes, "Hey, somebody's stealing all your coats." Nobody moved. Everybody just stood there just like that. Preacher thought, well, he kept on preaching. A few minutes later, guy sneaks back in again. Starts grabbing everybody's umbrellas, everybody's hats. Ran out the door. Preacher stops again. He goes, "Hey, somebody back there just stole all your hats and all your umbrellas." Nobody moved. Well, preacher just kept on preaching. After the service, everybody came up, "Preacher, somebody stole our coats. Somebody stole our umbrellas, our hats." Preacher said, "Hey, I warned you twice." People looked at him and said, "Oh, we just thought you was preaching." Huh? Come on now, isn't that us sometimes? We don't give earnest heed to what's being spoken. We come out, we punch a clock. Come on. By the way, you know what the Bible calls that? People that come out to church and they really don't want anything. The Bible calls that the sacrifice of fools. Sometimes, I've been at this so long, I can read faces. You can tell people that come out maybe just to punch the clock. You can tell them at the invitation. They're already putting on their coats. They're already zipping up their Bibles. You can tell by the way they park their cars. Huh? Come on now. Huh? But I hope you'll make plans on coming out this week. I'm a political junk. I like, you know, I thought when the elections were, I followed the election closely. Who holds office? You know, who gets elected, whatever level it is, who gets elected to an office, it determines the direction and the future of that area or our nation. You ever stop and think that this week we're having an election? Huh? We're having an election on the family. We're having an election on your marriage, on your children, on your grandbabies. You say, "Well, preacher, how do you vote?" Two ways, whether or not you're here, number one. And then number two, what you do. The direction you take kind of goes along with what he's saying there. And I really hope that by Wednesday night, we'll want to walk out of here, really excited about taking our marriage up maybe a couple notches. Being a better dad, being a better husband. You young people here, getting ready to get married someday. Believe it or not, you will get married. Huh? And so, just understand, you know, this week it's not to embarrass anybody. Amen? It really isn't. We all make mistakes. I've been married 38 years. I have 4 kids, 13 grandbabies. Now, I know I don't look that old. If I had a dollar for every mistake I made, I'd be a millionaire. I'll put my tapes up tonight. I got a lot of preaching tape stuff. Like, you know what? Sometimes I just say, you know what? I'm going to get all my marriage sermons and burn them. Because it's easy to teach stuff like this, but it's harder to live it. Listen, you don't instinctively, do you get what I just said there? You don't instinctively become a great husband or a great wife. We don't just automatically get married and have 60 years of honeymoon. You want to keep that a little bit lower there. He's right. You're right. You got to work at it. Amen? You don't instinctively have a great family. You got to work at it. And the great thing about it is that God has given us a blueprint.
You say, well, Prince, I just want you to know that I've been married for 50 years.
I've heard that.
I'm glad.
But see, you're talking quantity. And I'm talking quality. I know a lot of people that woke up this morning, looked across the bed, and went, oh. Huh? If I'm going to be married to the same woman for 30, 40, 50, 60, I want to at least make sure I like her. How do you do that? You follow God's blueprint. Amen? Amen. Okay. Listen, get on the lighter side. Just to get some, how many here would like to hear a little bit of family wit and wisdom? Come on, how many like to hear that? Come on. Listen, you got to understand, you're going to hear it anyway. If you raise your hand, it just makes me feel better, okay? So you just do that. It just makes me, because you're going to hear it anyway, okay? Let me give you some, by the way, I'll do this every night. It's worth coming out just for the family wit and wisdom, amen? Okay, here it is, family wit and wisdom. Couple different subjects. Here we are, in the area of arguments. Huh? Arguments. A woman has the last word in any argument. Anything a man says after that is the beginning of a new argument. In the area of our future, a woman worries about the future until she gets a husband. A man never worries about the future until he gets a wife. Success. A successful man is one who makes more money than his wife can spend. A successful woman is one who can find such a man. Huh? Dressing up. A woman will dress up to go shopping, water the plants, empty the garbage, answer the phone, read a book, get the mail. A man will dress up for weddings and funerals. Looks. Can you handle this? Come on. Can you handle this? Looks. I'm going to give it to you anyway. Men wake up looking as good as they went to bed. A woman somehow deteriorates during the night. Let me give you one more. Children. How many like to hear something on children? Would you like to hear something on children? Children. A woman knows all about her children. She knows about dentist appointments, romances, their friends, favorite foods, secret fears, their hopes, and their dreams. A man is vaguely aware of some short people living in the house. Isn't that the truth? I hope you'll make it out this week. You say, preacher, I'd love to, but I got to work. I'll tell you what, if you got to work, here's what I'll do for you. I will write your boss an excuse. Huh? You think that'll fly, Jerry? Dear boss, Jerry couldn't make it to work today because he's got family conference. There you go. You see me, I'll write the excuse. Amen? Well, if you have your Bibles, turn over to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Let me just say this as we get into this message. I believe what I'm going to preach this morning, it could well be one of the most important messages, if not maybe the most important message of the week. There's a lot of other areas I'm going to touch on this week, but I really believe unless we have this, what I'm going to preach on this subject here, unless we have this issue resolved and settled in our heart, everything else I preach will be a waste. More and more and more, as I hold family conferences, I devote at least one message to the area of emotions. Does that make sense? Do you know what drives and controls a lot of our emotions? Our emotions, think about this, our emotions can make for a millionaire marriage or they can make for a miserable marriage. Does that make sense? And I'm seeing, listen to me, I am seeing more and more couples that are, oh, they're living together. They're married. But here's the problem. They're distant. They have a cold relationship. Never able to be kind to one another. They don't have what they used to have. Now, again, this week, we're going to touch on some of those areas, but I really believe, if we're on, this is the heart of the matter right here. It is so, so important. And you know what? Listen, we're all affected by it. Right here, starting right here. We're all affected by it. I want to bring you a message this morning. Here's the title, Quit Looking in the Rearview Mirror. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Notice what it says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Quit looking in the rearview mirror. Let's pray. Father, bless the time that we have here this morning. Lord, I pray that we would understand, no matter who we are, from young people to the oldest here, every single one of us is affected by what we're about to preach, even this preacher that's preaching the message. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be soft and tender to the wooing power of the Holy Spirit of God. I also pray that this morning, if we have anybody here that's not saved, that they would understand they will never get the victory in this area until they first get saved, and they have the power then to overcome this area. Give us a good service. For it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know what I believe? I believe that there are probably more people than we would ever imagine that live in or hold on to something in the past. It's normal. Listen to me. It's normal. When you walk up to somebody, you put your hand out and you say something like this. How you doing? How many have already done that today? Yeah, I bet this morning, well, I've probably done that 50 times. How you doing? But did you ever stop and think there's some people you never want to ask that question? How you doing?
Well, preacher, you see, it all started 30 years ago.
Huh?
I mean, they can't wait to tell you how miserable they are. They can't wait to tell you how hard or how bad, how rough they've had it in life.
I just preached a family conference, preacher, down in Tampa, Florida. After a service one night, I had a man come up to me and said, Brother Behrens, he said, you like seafood? I said, yeah, I like seafood. He says, can I take you out to lunch tomorrow? I said, okay with the preacher, okay with me. Check with the preacher. The only condition was the preacher said the assistant pastor had to go with us. His name was Rick. And so we met him at the seafood restaurant. We sat in a booth. Rick sat here, I sat here, I sat across from this gentleman. We ordered, and after we ordered, I made that mistake. I looked across the booth, and I said, so, how you been doing? Listen, I'm not kidding you. For the next 45 minutes, he told me the story of his life and how bad he had it. Now, if he ended there, I could have handled that. But he didn't. I kid you not, when he finished, he put that little spiel on rewind. And he told the whole story again. We got done. We said our goodbyes. I let him get out of sight, and I turned on Rick, the assistant pastor. And in a loving, kind way, come on, now you know me better than that. I looked at him and I said, Rick, what in the world? Rick's laughing. Rick said, don't blame me, you asked. And then Rick proceeded to tell me not only the type of life that he had, but what his marriage was like. And the end result, the product of his children. Not so funny anymore, is it? Hey, listen, be honest. How many of you know somebody like that? Come on. Don't look around. Don't do that. Somebody might be thinking about you right now too. Amen, huh? Hey, don't we all know somebody? Always looking back. Always complaining. Always talking about how miserable they are. Now, let me ask another question. This would fit probably every one of us also. Have you ever had something happen in your life and it's just hard to put it to rest? I mean, it's easy to remember it. It's easy to live it over and over and over. And with that comes certain emotions. Anger, bitterness, self-pity, depression, melancholiness, that's what I call it. Huh? You know what? I dare say this. In a crowd this size, probably every single one of us. Am I not right? I could start here with Pastor Leatherman and go to Kathy, and then I could take over. Amen. Probably every single one of us, we could stand up and we could talk about a disappointment, a hurt, a wrong, an injustice, an argument. And listen, get this, we've never gotten over it. I know hundreds of husbands, wives, dads, mothers, teenagers. If you look at them on the outside, you say, what do you mean by that when they come to church? Everything is hunky-dory, huh? How you doing? Oh, preacher, everything. I'm a window washer. Praise the Lord. Amen, huh? Oh, preacher, everything is happy, happy. happy, happy. I'm warm and fuzzy, huh? Hey, listen, think about what you're going to miss the rest of this week if you don't come out. Amen. We're just getting warmed up. Come on. But listen to me. Inside, behind that facade, huh? There's sourness. There's anger. There's bitterness. There's depression. And as they go, listen, as that person goes through, the husband, the dad, the mother, the wife, the children, as they go through life, there's never a smile. I mean, their face is almost always like a stewed prune. I mean, they remind you of an undertaker looking for a customer. Huh? Their attitude is the attitude of somebody with a chip on their shoulder. And it doesn't take long for them to start talking about how bad they have it. Now, listen to me. That person doesn't realize it. But what has happened is they become trapped in their past. John 10:10 says this. We tend to forget this. John 10:10 says this. I am come that you might have life. Now get this. The main reason, the primary reason why Jesus Christ came is so that you might have eternal life. Isn't that a great thought? Jesus wants you to get saved. Jesus wants you to spend forever in heaven with Him. Great thought. But wait a minute. There's a second half to that verse. And that's the part that we tend to forget. Jesus said, first of all, I am come that you might have life. But then, wait a minute, and that you might have it more abundantly. Here's what He says. I'm come, first of all, number one, so that you might have eternal life. But then after you get saved, did you get that? After you get saved, then He wants you to have the what? The abundant life. What's that? He wants you to have the time of your life on your way to heaven. He wants you to, get this, He wants you to have everything that God intends for you to have in your marriage, in your life, in your family. He wants you to have that. And when you have that, when you're working towards that, did you get that? When you're working towards that, God says, you will have the abundant life. But you know what? There's a lot of people by the way they live their life. Here's what they say. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to live in the past. I want to wallow in self-pity. I want to be able to tell my friends how bad I've had it. I want to keep this someone done you wrong story. Huh? And for somebody like that, listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. I can see by some face. I mean, some of you look like I just slapped you. I'm trying to help you here. For somebody like that, you know what that is? It's like a scab that's trying to heal. Every time you talk about it, every time you think about it, you kick it open. And that old wound never heals. But wait a minute. You need to understand this. It not only affects you, it affects your marriage. It affects your children as they're growing up in the home. Listen to me. It affects your grandchildren because you have a profound influence on them also. You know what I believe? I believe one of the greatest spiritual lessons that any of us can ever learn is that there just needs to be a time in our life when we let the past be the past. You can't let the past ruin your future. You can't let the past, listen, ruin and wreck and destroy your marriage and your children and everything that God has for them in the future. Now, real quickly here, I'm not going to take long. Won't be a long sermon, but I want to lay some groundwork here. Listen, I know he has. Did your preacher ever preach a message where the light bulbs come on at the end? That ever? This is that kind of message. You've got to listen to this as I lay the foundation, in the end, you'll say, oh, now I see why he headed down this road. It's that important. Lay some groundwork here, first of all, so you understand where I'm headed, but also, listen, so that at the end, you can understand the wonderful promise that God wants all of us to claim. In Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah announces a twofold purpose of Jesus Christ. First of all, to bring the gospel at his first coming, the message of salvation at his first coming. Secondly, to bring judgment on unbelievers and comfort to Zion at his second coming. You see, Isaiah here is not talking about himself. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in verses 1 and 2, he gives us at least six reasons or six purposes for his coming. Now, let me just say this here real quickly. When I say he has six purposes for, I don't have a six-point sermon. Amen? In fact, listen, in fact, I don't even have a one-point sermon. Isn't that great? All I have is just a thought. I'm going to give you the thought, and we're done. But what a thought, what a promise it is in the Word of God. And the sad thing about it is so many people go through life and they never learn about this promise that God has for them. Let me give you the six things. I'm not going to preach on them. I'll just give them to you real quickly so you can see them. Here in verse 1, he gives us the first purpose, the preaching of good tidings unto the meek. Man, you could preach an hour on all these. In verse 1, he gives us the second purpose, to bind up the brokenhearted. Verse 1, the third purpose, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. In verse 2, we have the fourth purpose, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 2, the fifth purpose, the day of vengeance of our God. Verse 2 ends with the sixth purpose, to comfort all that mourn. Now, this is important. Verse 2 ends with five very important little words, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3, we come to six more very important little words, to appoint unto them that mourn. Now, let me read that to you as one. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn. You say, well, preacher, it almost sounds like the Bible is repeating itself. No, it's not. Here's what God is saying, is that what you saw up above in verse 2, what you just read in verse 2, is not enough. I am not only going to comfort those of you that mourn, but I am also going to appoint unto you, or I'm going to give you, if you'll claim it, I'm going to give you three more things. And in verse 3, he begins to list those. Notice what he says. First of all, I'm going to give you beauty. What's that next word? I forgot that word. My mind just went blank. What was that word, Kathy? Four. I'm going to give you beauty. I forgot that word again. What was that word again? Four. What was that word again? Say, preacher, hey, listen. If you underline your Bible, underline that. That's the key to the whole message. That's the key. God says, listen, I'm going to give you beauty. What's that three-letter word again? Four. What? Ashes. If I was sitting here today and I wasn't saved, never held a Bible in my hand, and somebody read that and said, God wants to give you beauty for ashes. I may not even know what that, but that'd sound pretty good to me. How about you? I'd sit there and say, I don't know what that means, but that sounds pretty, I wouldn't mind having that, huh? Keep that thought. God says, first of all, I want to give you beauty for ashes. Now, let me explain what that's talking about. That is talking about your attitude. Is that important, an attitude? Your attitude, listen. Your attitude is what makes or breaks your marriage and your family. It's what determines your spirituality. A person that says this, man, I may not be perfect, but by the grace of God, I'm going to be here every sermon. That's a good attitude. But somebody says, hey, you know what? I don't need this stuff. That's an attitude that will break a marriage. Your attitude's important. God, what he's talking about here is a spirit of attitude or your outlook as you go through life. Back in Bible days, people that mourned would literally lay down in the ashes. And here's what God says. God says, if you'll let me, I'll lift you up from the dust. I'll put a smile back on your face and I'll put a skip back in your step. Secondly, he says this, I'll give you the oil of joy for mourning. That speaks of your emotion. God says, again, if you'll let me, I can get you to where you'll no longer look on the dark side of life. I can get you to where your face will shine and radiate again. Huh? Have you ever run into Christians and they think that by not smiling, that makes them spiritual? I mean, you're cracking jokes. You're just having a good time in there. Huh? Have you ever seen somebody like that? God's letting you know this. That is not the mark of a spiritual face. God says that is a mark of a mourning face. In other words, God considers that type of a look a disfigured face. And God says, hey, if you'll just let me, I can get you to where you'll smile again, where you'll radiate the love of God and just have a good time as you're serving the Lord. Then thirdly, he says, I'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That speaks of your expression. Back in Bible days, garments were worn on happy Thanksgiving days. Now, why did God want to... we're just about ready to jump off and the light bulbs will come on here. Why does God want to give us these three additional things? Look in verse 3. That they, that's you, that's everybody sitting here today that's saved, that they, or you, might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he... Who's the he? That's God. Might be glorified. God likens you as a tree of righteousness in the garden of God. Why? So that as you go through life, as you live your life, God might be glorified. You see, listen, there is nothing that gives God more glory than a person, get this, than a person who after he gets saved, serves God with a glad, happy, right attitude. Does that make sense? Now, with that in mind, let's get down to where the rubber meets the road here. Look again at verse 3. We don't have time to cover all three of these. I'm just going to take one thought out of here, and we're going to run with it. Notice what he says. For those that mourn, God says, here's what I want to give you. I want to give unto them beauty. Man, what was that word again? For ashes. I'm going to say it again, even if I didn't know what that means. That sounds pretty good to me. But what is it talking about? God's talking about your attitude. God's talking about your outlook as you sit here this morning. And listen, it does, oh, it does so much affect your marriage, does it not? It affects your family, your children. God says, I want to give you a new attitude, a new outlook. God says this, I want to give you beauty, say it one more time, for ashes. You say, preacher, why have you parked on that word for? I'll tell you why. God says, I want to give you a new attitude. I want to give you a new outlook. Man, as you go through life, God says, listen, I want you to have the abundant life. I want you to have a millionaire marriage. I want your kids to be able to look at you and see in that dad, in that mother, the right type of Christian attitude in them. But before I can give you beauty, what's the word? For. What's that mean? God says this, there's a trade that has to take place. Huh? Wait a minute. Who has to make the trade? You do. You do. You see, if the preacher's sitting down here and he's dealing with what I'm preaching, listen, I can't go down there and twist his arm and say, hey, whether or not I tell you what, today's the day you're going to get a great attitude. You can't do, come on. Chances are he's going to turn more sour on me, huh? And so God says, hey, who's the one responsible for this? You are. God says, I want to give you beauty. But before I can give you beauty, there's a trade you have to make. There's an exchange you have to make. God says, you've got to give me your ashes. Now, that sounds like a pretty good trade. Huh? God says, give me your ashes. Trade me your ashes. I'm always looking for a good deal. How about you? God says, give me your ashes. When you give me your ashes, you see, it's an active decision. When you give me the ashes, in trade, I'll give you beauty. Preacher, sounds pretty good. What are the ashes? The ashes, listen, the ashes represent what's left over after something is burned and destroyed. Isn't that true in everyday life? If I brought a pile of wood in here today, poured some gas on it right now, and lit it, now, the meeting would probably end this morning. Amen? I would be cleaning my stuff out of the cabin. Amen? But after that fire finally burned down, what would be left over? Ashes. In the spiritual realm, what do the ashes represent? Hey, maybe for somebody, not everybody, but maybe for somebody tonight, they represent a broken dream that you had. Maybe for somebody else, they represent a disappointment or a pain that you have experienced in life. Maybe for somebody else sitting here, those ashes represent a tragedy that you have experienced in life. Maybe for almost every one of us. Did you hear what I just said there? Probably for almost every one of us, those ashes represent maybe what other people have done to us. Huh? Anybody here never been stabbed in the back, hit wrong? Huh? Unkind words? Huh? Well, not me, people. I tell you what, you've been working with glue too much. Amen? Haven't we all been stabbed in the back? Haven't we all been wronged? Huh? Hey, haven't we all, at times, you don't want to admit it, we've said things to each other that we never meant. We've said things to our kids that we give anything to take back. Come on. Those are ashes. For others here, those ashes could represent the hurts or the failures that you've had. Maybe failures as you've gone through your marriage or going through your family. They're hurts. They're failures. And can I say this, just so that we don't have a Pharisee here, we all have them. From me on, we all have them. We all have them. But in order for God to give you, did you get that? You, beauty for ashes, that trade has to take place. God says this, you have to, you absolutely have to let go of the hurts. Let go of the bitterness and the anger and the reliving and the doubts maybe of that moment over and over and over again. God says, you've got to let go of the self-pity. You've got to let go of the self-questioning. Can I give you the Barron's paraphrase of this? I know we're King James, amen? But I'm going to give you the Barron's paraphrase, amen? Here's what God says. God says this, if you want beauty for ashes, you've got to quit looking in the rearview mirror. And then and only then can God give you beauty or a new beginning. You know what I think? I think one of the worst things that a husband, a wife, a dad, a mother, a child of the family can do is to allow their past to poison their future. But unfortunately, I'm seeing it more and more, unfortunately, there are tens of thousands of us in churches just like this that are doing that. You say, preacher, I understand everything you're preaching this morning. I agree with everything that you're preaching on, but you know what? I've had something happen in my life, in my marriage, in my... Man, I just... Preacher, I just can't put it in the past. Can I just say this, friend? That's an awful heavy price that you're saying you want to pay. See, listen, if you won't let go of the old, God can't give you the new. You say, but preacher, I just can't do it. Listen, what I'm talking about this morning, it's a promise of God. You know what that means? See, we use that word promise. Understand what God's saying. It's a promise of God. What God is saying is, you'll never see the new until you actually claim it. You see, you sit back here and you say, that's an impossibility. You know why? Because you never claimed it. It's only at the instant that you claim it that God is able to deliver it. If God can't deliver it, then He's not God. And we might as well chuck our Bibles and walk out the door and live the way we want. Preacher, if you only knew... Hey, listen, understand something. When you say that, here's what you're saying. You're saying, preacher, I want to be trapped in the past. For the rest of my life, think about this, for the rest of my life until the day I die, I want to live with this attitude and this emotion. Man, that's a scary thought. Preacher, for the rest of my life, I want to keep the victim's mentality. Now, just so you won't think I'm me, I'm a nice guy, I really am. I'm a teddy bear at heart. Thank you. Listen, just so you won't think I'm hammering you and I'm being mean. Listen, you're here this morning, you're thinking about something. I have no idea, but you're thinking about something. A hurt, a wrong, a loss, a tragedy, a mistake you made and it had terrible consequences. I don't know. Can I just say this? Listen to me. You are absolutely normal to grieve. You're normal. You are normal to feel sorrow. You are normal. Listen, I hate to say it because some of us will claim it, but listen, you are normal to a certain extent to feel some self-pity. You're normal. Hey, listen, I'll go a step further. You're even normal if you get angry. Some want to cry, some want to kill. Depends on your personality. Amen? But here's the problem. Get this. Here's the problem. There's a lot of us that allow a season of mourning to turn into a lifetime of mourning. And when that happens, oh, you may still live together, but it'll destroy your marriage. That will be the example that you will be to your children and your grandchildren. I have a friend, a good friend. His son teaches down at Pensacola Christian College. I'm not going to go into a situation, but this man developed a problem, a situation in his life. And he never got over it. This man lives in an area where there are four very good fundamental independent Baptist churches. He hasn't joined any of them, but he moves from church to church to church to church. All four of these pastors have given him hundreds of hours of counseling, tried to help him. Watch. Everywhere he goes, he talks about it. My problem is this. I preach in all four of those churches. We're good friends. When he comes out to hear me preach, I can point it out. When he comes out to hear, brother, he sits right about where you're sitting. In the red shirt. Now, that's not an indication that, you know, you look like you're still pretty interested. You got a smirk, but maybe it's a smile. I don't know, you know. Even though, you know, she's sitting pretty far away. Is that your wife? Is that? Okay, that's your wife over there. Whatever, okay. See, that's why I need to keep my mouth shut. Amen, you know. So, but anyway. His wife's saying, I don't claim him either, you know. But anyway. But he sits right about where you're. I'm just kind of, you know, Bible on his lap. Here's what I've learned. He's not there to hear me preach. Hello. He's not there to get a blessing or learn. I found out, as soon as the service is over, you know what? He makes a beeline to me. If he can get me cornered, he's got me for an hour. Whenever I see him, I'm looking for an exit. I'm not kidding you. All four churches. This man in this area has become known as the man that has this problem. When you bring his name up, first name is Bill, just like mine. Bring his name, Bill. You know Bill? Oh, yeah, I know him. He's the man that's got that problem. Now, we laugh. Wait a minute. You know what's happened? Is he has allowed this problem, this situation, to become his testimony. I've left one thing out on purpose. This man, they have stayed in my home. That tells you, does it not? They're friends. They're good friends. They've stayed. He's got a big family, 12 children. They've all stayed in my home. You ought to try and feed that. This man, in fact, I'll tell you what, I've been in the ministry 35 years. This is the only man I can say this. This man, because of this situation, I believe this. And those other preachers do too. This man literally drove his wife to an early grave. Did you get that? Because of the attitude that he carried. 12 children. None of them. I mean, none of them. But the oldest son will have anything to do with him anymore because of his attitude. They won't allow their grandbabies near him. Isn't that sad? When he visits a church, nobody comes near him. You say, preacher, why? Listen, let's be honest. Because nobody on a consistent basis, whether it be church members, grandchildren, children, husbands, wives, want to be around an ash carrier. I'm just being honest. Man, it's getting awful quiet in here. Come on. Huh? What is his problem? He's holding on to the ashes. And God can't give him the new until he lets go of the old. Hey, listen. I don't know anybody's background here. But maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're thinking of a situation too. You're thinking of a problem. Maybe you've had situations with your husband or your wife. Hey, maybe you've had a husband or a wife leave you. I don't know. Maybe you've had a situation with your son or your daughter. Maybe, hey, listen, I'll go a step further. Maybe you've had an employer fire you. Maybe you've had a friend turn on you. Somebody hurt you. Somebody stabbed you in the back. Can I give you, whatever it is, whatever you're thinking about, can I give you some great advice? Put it behind you. Listen, that doesn't mean if the situation doesn't arise that you still don't try and deal with it. Amen? But man, for the sake of your testimony and your marriage and your faith, put it behind you. You know what I've had to learn through what we call the school of hard knocks? Anybody ever been through the school of hard knocks? That's why they call me Dr. Behrens. I got a PhD in the school of hard knocks. You know what I've had to learn? Get this. Bill Barron, the guy you're looking at right now, I can't control what other people do or say about me. Does that make sense? I can't. They're going to do and they're going to say what they want. But now here's the key. And here's where it becomes applicable to your life and your marriage and your children. You know what I've learned? I can control my attitude and my spirit. You see, other people are going to answer for what they did. But I am going to answer to God, if you believe that. I'm going to answer to God for my attitude, my spirit, and my reaction. I'm going to answer, listen, I'm going to answer to God for the spiritual temperature in regards to attitude and spirit that I had, that I was able to keep in my marriage. I'm going to answer to God for the spiritual attitude, the spiritual temperature that I showed to my children and my grandchildren as they witnessed how I lived my life. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says this, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls." Now, a lot of times when we as preachers, when we preach that in regards to anger. Nothing wrong with that. I got messages on that. But it's interesting, God says this, "He that hath no rule over his own what? Spirit." You know what that's, listen, God's talking about all the attitudes and all the spirits. God says, hey, you know what? If you really want to, if it's important enough to you, if you're working, listen, if you are working towards having a millionaire marriage, a great family, if you're working towards that goal, God says this, if it's important enough to you, you can have the right spirit and right attitude as you go through life. I had a husband not long ago in Pekin, Illinois. Early 50s, come up to me. He said, "Can I talk to you, Brother Behrens?" I said, "Sure." Husband of four children, a couple grandbabies, and he started telling me about a situation. "Oh, Brother Behrens, 50-some years old." And I'm there, I mean, he almost got me crying. That's something. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, whoa. And man, my heart went out to him. And I stopped. I said, "Brother," I said, "when did this happen?" 50-some years old. Get this. He looked and he said, "Preacher, when I was in high school." All those years carrying the ashes of the past. And all of a sudden, listen, the light bulb went on in my life. All of a sudden, it hit me. Now I know why he's having so many marital problems. Now I know, oh, he's complaining about his kids and he's blaming his son-in-law for this and that. But all of a sudden, it hit me. Now I know why he's having these different, you're trying to put out all these fires with his children. Huh? Always talking about it. Oh, pray for me. Opening up the old wound. Hey, ladies, listen to me. Ladies, I like the story of Ruth in the Bible, ladies. Don't have time to tell it. But I'm going to tell you something. Read the story, read the life of Ruth. Man, she had it rough. But it's interesting, if you read the life of Ruth, Ruth never blames God. Ruth, listen to me, Ruth, she never gets negative. She never gets bitter. She never lives in the past. To make a long story short, one day Ruth is out working in the field. Along comes Boaz. He sees Ruth. He falls in love with her, and they end up in West Virginia, you say, getting hitched. But now, wait a minute. Are there not thousands of sermons preached on the life of Ruth? Where does it go back? Where does it start, though? What's the foundation for all these great sermons that even ladies can learn from? Get this. God gave Ruth beauty for ashes. If Ruth would have held a bitter spirit, an angry spirit, we'd have never had the story of Ruth in the Bible like we know it today. Does that show you how important it is, wives, ladies? Men? All the men were smiling until just now. You know, "Oh, yeah, get him, Fred. I'll get him." Now, men, they go, Men, if there is anybody in the entire Bible that had a right to carry the ashes of the past with them, Joseph. Huh? a boy, a young man, taken from his father, hated by his brother so much they wanted to kill him, sold as a slave, set up by a woman, lied about, falsely accused, spent years in a prison. But if I got my Bible story correct, I might be wrong. Chip, you correct me if I'm wrong here. Thanks. If I got my Bible story correct, didn't God use and bless him anyway, men? Why? Listen, I'll tell you why. Men, you better get this, because Joseph refused to look in the rearview mirror. Joseph refused to carry the ashes of the past with him. And look at what he went through, guys. Hey, you ever watch a buzzard circle roadkill on a hot day? Huh? You ever do that? You say, preacher, you got a weird sense. I know, I see things other people don't. You have a possum waddle across the road on a hot summer day. Huh? You're driving along. All of a sudden, boom. You all know what that is, don't you? Boom. You look in your rearview mirror and the tail is... Is that not a possum tail? Huh? Is that not a possum tail? Boom! When you hear that, boom! The guts. The sun bakes down on it. The meat goes from red to green to rancid. I mean, you can smell that stuff 500 yards away. Am I not right? Flies land, lay eggs, maggots. Now, overhead. What is there? The buzzard. He sees the possum. He thinks this. Now there's a feast. Am I not right? We would look at it and go, oh, oh. But he says now, there's a feast. Listen to me. Get this. That might be somebody sitting here this morning. The things that God wants normal Christians to stay away from. The negative attitudes, the negative emotions, we all have them, but we can trade them. The things that he wants us to stay away from, to maybe even get sick of, we feast on them. We feast on the hurts and the wrongs and the anger and the pity. Every morning we wake up and we bring along a wheelchair full of junk from the past. And we carry it with us all day long. I'm done. Can I say something, and you won't think I'm being mean. Can I say something? Remember what I said? I'm going to say it anyway. Just if you just do that, it makes me feel good. Huh? I'm going to say, we're done here, but let me just say this. I'm not being mean. I'm maybe telling you something that nobody else will tell you. When somebody walks up to you and shakes your hand and says, how you doing? It's a question. It's not a question. It's a greeting. Amen? Huh? There's nobody that wants to hear the story of your life over and over and over. Now, don't get me wrong. If you have something happen, you're like, listen, I know your preacher well enough. You have a problem. Listen, he is more than happy to sit down with you and talk with you. Amen? Don't get me wrong here. But there's no preacher in the world that wants to hear a person's story after story after over and over and over and over without you doing something about it. There's only one person that ever gets invited to a pity party. You. That's it. Is there anybody here that can change the past? then why live there? Why live where you can't change? Huh? Why in the world would we want to lay down in the ashes of self-pity and anger and everything else? Hey, Brother Chip, be honest. You're among friends. Amen? Just perhaps, somewhere in your house, just perhaps, you got a tarp over it. Nobody knows about it. You got a time machine. Come on, be honest. Yeah, yeah. And you've been working with glue too much too, amen? Now, you're looking at me like, preacher, you're being so... No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm trying to make you understand something. You say, well, why would you ask Brother Chip a dumb... I'll tell you why. Because the past is the past. There is nobody here this morning that can go back in time, amen, and change 1 minute of your past. So why are you living there? Why are you hurting yourself and your marriage and your children and your grandbaby over something that you can't change? But you know what you can do? You can do something about right now. You can say, you know what? I am no longer going to dwell on the failures and the situations and the tragedies and the problems of the past. I'm not going to worry anymore about what could have been or what should have been. I'm not going to let the past mess up the future. From here on out, I'm going to quit looking. Where? In the rear view. Hey, listen. I'll guarantee you. You drive out of here today, and you try and drive just looking in your rear view mirror. How far are you going to get, bud? Huh? Uh-uh. That's exactly what's happened in some of our lives. We try and drive our life. Boom. Boom, boom, boom. We end up with more messes instead of just giving it to God. Saying, God, I made a mistake here. I messed up here. I had this situation here. Somebody wronged me here. God, I'm giving you the ashes. And I want beauty. Quit looking in the rearview mirror. The reason I preach this morning is more and more and more I'm seeing people. Listen, I'm talking about good people, ruin their marriage. I'm not talking about getting a divorce, but I'm saying, man, they lose what God wants them to have in their marriage, a great marriage. They lose that. They lose their children. Listen, I'm seeing kids, because they watch dad, they see this attitude, I'm seeing kids move out of the home, marry the wrong person, just to get out of that home. I'm seeing people go through life. Very few, if any, friends. Why doesn't anybody like me? Tell you why. Ash carriers. And it doesn't have to be. Quit looking in the rearview mirror. Trade. Isn't that a great word? Trade. We can all do that. Trade something you don't want for something that you desire so much. What? Ashes. And God says it's a promise. You won't see it till you do it. Give me your ashes. The moment you drop those ashes on me, God says, I'll give you beauty. I'll make you a changed person. I'll give you a new attitude. A new outlook as you go through life. And that, in turn, will not only better your life, it'll better your marriage, it'll better your children because of your testimony, it'll be an example for your grandchildren and your great future generations. Amen? Well, I hope you will. Listen, let me just say this again. We all have it. You know what I found? There's not a month that doesn't go by. I'm talking about myself. Look around the graph here. There's not a month, normally, probably every 2 weeks, that doesn't go by when I've got to make a trade. Huh? Because somebody does me wrong. Somebody does something. And I tell you what, I'm not a forgiving person by nature. But I've learned if I'm going to have everything in my life, in my marriage, in my family, God, I've got to make the trade. I've got to do it. I do it on a regular basis. And God will carry through on His promise if you just make the trade. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Can I just say this?